Hey everyone, welcome back to Rupees Over Ramen, the show where we talk about animation, creativity, the creative process, and tons of other nerdy stuff. So today we are going to be talking about Scooby-Doo, the creative process, and van life, and how all those things mash up and mesh up together in my mind, and how they connect. So starting with Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo is a super awesome show. If you haven't seen it, like go check out like the old episodes or What's New Scooby-Doo. Those are all super good. I've always related to the character of Shaggy and that I love food and I don't really like scary stuff that much. Like if you can ask my friends, I do not like horror movies, but I do love food and I make a mean giant sandwich. So, hey, I don't have a Great Dane, but I do have two little like Yorkie poos. Those are dogs. Dog names are so odd. But Scooby-Doo is also very interesting because even though he's a Great Dane, the way that the character designers designed him was kind of to be the opposite, because Great Danes are very regal, very noble. And Scooby-Doo has like the bent ears. He has like kind of a rounded jaw. He has this like arched back, like nothing like a Great Dane. But his design is so lovable and like, I think it's an amazing character design. And if you didn't know, Scooby-Doo is voiced by Frank Welker, who also voices Fred, which is kind of crazy. He's a super talented actor and he's been doing it for a long time and he's still doing it. So it's pretty amazing. But when thinking about Scooby-Doo and the creative process, I was thinking about how each member of the gang, I'm a huge nerd of Scooby-Doo, they all go into a mystery in a different way. They solve problems in a different way. Just like we as creatives and artists solve problems in a different way. We all think differently. Our mind and brain chemistry are all very different. Like Shaggy and Scooby, they first start with eating something, making sure that their tummy is full, that they got a good strong hearty meal before they go and try to figure this out. And that can be good for art too. Like if you're having block or you're not sure what to do, like sit down and eat something. Or like when I'm angry or when I'm mad at for some reason or impatient, it's usually because I'm hangry and I just need to eat something, or I need sleep. So like be aware of those rhythms in yourself and take care of yourself. But the thing that I find super interesting about Scooby and Shaggy is even though they always go to like the kitchen or somewhere to get away from the monster, in most, like the majority of the episodes, they are the ones that first run into the monster, which I found very interesting and almost like an analogy. It's like the path, there's like this thing about the path you take to avoid fate leads right to it or something like that. I'm not sure if I really believe in fate, but I think about a lot of times when you try to avoid something, it becomes much bigger of a problem. It becomes much closer to you, kind of like with Shaggy and Scooby. But at the same time, it's their way of approaching something. So I think that's cool. With Freddy, he wants to figure out that the ghost or the monster isn't real yet before he sets the trap. Even though the trap's going to catch the monster or ghost, like either way, he wants to make sure, which I think is really interesting. He likes analyzing things and making sure that it is not real before he tries to capture it so he doesn't end up in trouble, which I think is smart. With Velma, she is the one who's looking for clues and trying to figure things out before the mystery is over so that she can explain it. And I think all of them have their own like weaknesses and maybe like places where they fall short, but they're able to support each other and help each other a lot. Like Scooby and Shaggy, even though they may gripe about it, they're always ready to be the bait or to lure the ghost or the monster or whatever into Freddy's traps. And with Daphne, even though like she may just look like the pretty girl, a pretty face, she's very smart and very resourceful as well. Like she knows a lot of things that a lot of the others don't, and she's able to help them out in that. And she goes at a mystery by listening to others and being with others and standing with them and being a support to them, which I think is really cool. And you're like, wow, like I've never looked at Scooby-Doo this way. I love Scooby-Doo, like I said before. And I think it's really cool, also relating a bit to the creative process, how for them, every single episode is very similar. It's kind of the same structure. It's like, you would think you'd get old of it, but I don't. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't. Like, I enjoy every moment of the episodes. And the personalities of the character and who they are, it's just so awesome seeing that within the story. And it's actually been a huge inspiration for me in telling stories. I like telling stories with a gang or a crew or a team of people that are working together, and their strengths are filling the other's weaknesses, and they all have their own different gifts and talents and things that they can do better than anyone else to help people. But with this same structure, I think there's patterns also in our lives as creatives and as individuals. And if we are aware of those patterns and see those patterns, we're able to adjust to them, and we're able to adapt, and we're able to realize the things that can help us and the things that won't help us. And it's also really interesting how there's some episodes of Scooby-Doo where the monster is real. And there's, like, in school and university, a lot of times that's just kind of practice for the quote-unquote real world. And there's going to be consequences for our actions in our lives. And there's often that testing ground in figuring something out with, like, with a story or with a character. And it's like Austin Kleon talks about, there is a beauty in being, like, having a small following or being obsolete. Like, there's a beauty in that because you can experiment, you can try things out, and the monster isn't real in those times. Like, there is this kind of free open range sandbox for you to play in. You're given a pile of Legos and you can make whatever you want with it, which I think is really awesome. And then the third thing that was mentioned was van life. So you guys may not know this about me, but I love, like, Volkswagen buses and vans and Vanagons and all those camper vans. I just love, like, the aesthetic of them and how they look. And I think it's because I watched so much Scooby-Doo growing up. I was just, like, their mystery machine is so cool. And I find it interesting how, like, Scooby and Shaggy are always in the back usually, but in some, there's, like, two seats in the back. They have computers in the back. It changes. It's very interesting. But I always found van life super cool. And of course, I've done, like, research into it and stuff, and how there's so much that you got to be aware of, like paying for fuel. There's give and takes with things, as there is with everything. But I think the thing that excites me the most about it, and why I kind of wrote it into one of my stories, is how you're able to be somewhere different every day and have a different experience. It's kind of like a new episode. It's like how The Mandalorian started, where each new episode was a new planet, a new place, and a new situation and a new mystery to be solved. Like Freddy says, looks like we got another mystery on our hands. And another thing you might have noticed from listening to my podcast is I say like a lot, and it's kind of like a filler word, but also I think it might be because I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo and I related to Shaggy. And I think it'd be cool to be able to do his voice. I still can't quite do it. Sometimes I can do Scooby's voice, but, you know. I think, all in all, it's really cool how these old shows, like the old Scooby-Doos were made a long time ago, like 1960s or 70s, something like that. It's like, that's not my time period. Like, I was born in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid and grew up with, like, the Super Nintendo and stuff. But I also had Scooby-Doo to be there as a support and something to, that I could watch as a little kid that inspired me and really gave me a love for mysteries and a little bit of the paranormal. Even though I'm not really into horror, I love like paranormal stuff like Gravity Falls and Over the Garden Wall and Scooby-Doo. And it's taught me a lot about how having a strong group of people around you to support you and to be with you and finding kind of your crew, your like mystery gang, the people that you're going to solve those mysteries with and figure out life with, you know, like when you become an adult, when you leave, like when you're in college, when you're having roommates, when you're trying to figure things out, those people that are going to help you solve those mysteries, it's going to be such an amazing experience. And it can be so cool to get to know new people and make those new connections. And that's something that I would just invite all of you to do, is to seek out those new connections and be excited about those mysteries that come, to solve those mysteries. And I know it sounds corny, but in solving those mysteries, you're gonna be able to learn a whole lot more about yourself. And if you're an artist or a creative or just an individual, you're able to come to know yourself better and how your mind works and how you do things. And if you do things by starting off with a sandwich, like there's nothing wrong with that. That is totally okay. Shaggy does it and he solves so many mysteries. He has an amazing group of friends behind him, and he's been a huge inspiration to me. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining. Remember to Scooby-Doo, and yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? Got some work for you now. Peace.